Thank you very much. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew Wright. I'm a recent PhD graduate from Texas Tech University. And today I'll be presenting a spatial analysis of technology adoption in irrigation. Now, when we use technology in a lot of different ways, normally in some way to make our lives a little bit easier, a little bit better. And we're always trying to improve that technology. We like to make computers faster. We like to make cars more fuel efficient. And irrigation technology is no different. As we move from, say, furrow irrigation to sprinkler irrigation to more modern irrigation systems, we found ways to apply water to a crop more efficiently. And because of this, we've seen increases in how much water we use in it, or we apply to irrigated production, either because we expand the number of acres that we're going to put into irrigated production, or we more intensively irrigate those acres that are already in such production. So because of this connection between irrigated production and water use, and by extension, how we manage water resources, it's important for us to know who's going to adopt a new technology, why, where it's going to be adopted. And I think you'll see through all these presentations that these reasons can vary, or there are a lot of different reasons why someone might adopt technology, or a lot of different ways to look at the technology adoption question. We choose to look at this question from the basic profit maximization problem. That a producer will produce or will adopt a new technology in order to increase their net revenue. So obviously, economic factors are going to be important. But this is a large capital investment, and so it's going to be very or it's normally very important for producers to have a lot of information or learn about this technology to make sure it is going to, in fact, improve their farm practice. And doing so constitutes a learning cost. It's not necessarily a part of that price tag. Now, there are a lot of ways that they can learn about this technology. They can just go ahead, make the investment, learn about it themselves through trial and error. They might contact their extension service, talk to an extension agent, maybe attend some demonstrations. Or they can communicate with other users who have already started using this technology and have already begun this learning process themselves. And in doing so, they can benefit from this information. And in this, if that happens, then we can say that information spillover exists, where current users take on the cost of learning about the technology and can transfer the benefit of that information to potential users. Now, I also find that we also know that physical factors are important to this decision. The best technology, the most modern technology, may not necessarily be adopted on the high quality land or where the water is most available. We know that previous research has shown that these physical factors are important to that process. And we also know that farms that are close to each other, that producers who are neighbors, are probably going to share a lot of the same physical factors that go into this decision. So we can say that physical and economic factors imply a spatial relationship between technology adoption or to technology adoption. Those farmers who are producers who are close to current users are going to be more easily able to take advantage of those information spillovers. And again, these physical factors tend to be location specific, so producers that are in the same area are going to be faced by the same physical factors that will influence what they decide to do. So we want to know how important these spatial relationships are, which is what we set out to do. Determine what kind of spatial relationships exist and how important they are to the eventual adoption decision. In other words, we want to know, does location matter? Do these information spillovers occur? How strongly do they influence how people decide what technology to adopt? We use center pivot technology instead of something newer because center pivot's pretty much ended its adoption cycle. We can look at not only how these spatial relationships impact the decision, but how that impact can change over time as the division process or the adoption process goes on. For our study, we chose to use the High Plains Underground Water District, number one, which I'll refer to as the HPWD from now on. This is an area of 15 counties in West Texas that has collected data on center pivot counts in their counties in seven different years. And we start out by doing just an exploratory analysis. We just look at whether or not there's a spatial clustering of adopters in the counties, if there are groups of counties close together that tend to adopt in larger numbers than others. We then move on to a regression analysis, which gives us a bit more specific idea of what kind of spatial relationships exist, by first estimating just a simple OLS model to identify what kind of spatial dependence maybe at play. And then we estimate these a couple spatial regression models to see how strong the spatial relationships are. As I said, we have 7 years of data. These are spaced variously over the last 20 or so years. And so for each of these years, we created a cross-section where the number of center pivots in a county is the dependent variable. Then we equate that number to a set of independent variables that are related to the physical factors in each county. For instance, we use the current year and five-year change in the saturated thickness of the Ogallala Aquifer, the percent of production that is irrigated in the county at the time, the aridity level in each county, and then the distance to an experiment station. And we expect that those first four variables are going to be physical factors that impact actual physical factors of the county that impact the decision. And we expect that distance to an experiment station will be at play because those counties that are closer to an experiment station may have easier access to demonstrations of the technology and better able to get some of that knowledge from extension agents. And there are two experiment stations in this area, so we use an average distance of a county to both stations. This is just an example of this just shows the models that we use. The first, again, is just a simple OLS model. And from there, we can either estimate a spatial lag model or a spatial error model. This first model, we just add this new independent variable, which says that the number of pivots in a county are going to be somehow related to the number of pivots in neighboring counties. What we're really interested in here, if I can get the mouse to show up, is this parameter rho, which shows the strength of that that spatial dependence. This would be what you might see if these information spillovers I was talking about were occurring, if there were producers in one county communicating with non-users in a neighboring county. Then we can also estimate the spatial error model, where the spatial dependence occurs in the error term. What this means is that there's something possibly location-specific about a certain group of counties that influences that adoption process and encourages producers in those counties to adopt at a higher rate maybe than others. Basically, the number of pivots in a county high center pivot counts aren't going to be just randomly distributed through the counties. So again, there we go. We're interested in this lambda parameter, which shows the strength of that relationship. Now I'll start off by just talking a little bit about our exploratory analysis. This was done using a Moran's eye, which is just a measure of, as I said, spatial clustering or spatial ordering in the data. As you see from this table that we see this clustering occurring, that we see a positive spatial clustering in the first 3 years of the data that's statistically significant. This means that in these first 3 years, you can expect to see high center pivot counts in counties that neighbor each other. And you can see that a little bit better, I think, with these graphs. These are more in scatter plots. On the x-axis, you have the center pivot counts for a county. On the y-axis, you have the center pivot counts in neighboring counties weighted by distance. So, any points in this upper right-hand corner, those are going to be counties that are counties with high center pivot counts next to other counties with high center pivot counts. In the first year, we have our first cross-section, you see a very strong positive relationship. And again, 1990, this relationship, it tends to decrease a little bit, but still positive. In 1993, again, it decreases a little bit more, still positive. By 1995, the positive relationship is gone. However, I will point out there is one outlier that tends to skew the data to a negative relationship. This is a county that doesn't do a lot of agriculture, period. So it doesn't have it maintains a low center pivot count, but it's near other counties with high center pivot counts. So it tends to skew that relationship negative, even though I think if you take it out, that relationship isn't going to be there. Then as we go through to our last 3 years, we can see that all the other counties no longer show that positive skew so much. And in fact, in the last couple of years, start to really cluster around the origin of the scatter plot. So from this exploratory analysis, we can see that at least in the earliest years that we have data, there's definitely some kind of spatial clustering going on, going on, which might imply something about those locations or that specific area of the entire study area that might influence adoption of modern technology. However, over time, as the technology becomes more widespread, as it becomes more accepted, that relationship does appear to go away. Now, again, when we did the regressions, we started out with an OLS regression, just a simple OLS regression, which I showed you earlier. And we performed three tests of spatial dependence. We started out with a Moran's eye, and we did two Lagrange multiplier tests, one for the existence of spatial autocorrelation, which again would be the what would occur if we had that location-specific factor going on, and then for the existence of spatial dependence in the dependent variable. This would be the case if there were these information spillovers going on, or one county influencing adoption in another county. And although the Moran's eye values indicated statistically significant spatial autocorrelation in the first 3 years, and interestingly in 2008, the Lagrange multiplier tests did not confirm this. We went ahead and performed both the spatial error model and the spatial lag model for the first 3 years that we have data. And again, we found, and testing for lambda equals zero and rho equals zero found no statistical evidence of any kind of spatial dependence in any year, in any of the 3 years. These, I'll just go through, these numbers are pretty small, so you may not be able to see them. I've already said what I wanted to say about them. We can go back in the question and answer if anyone wants to see something specific. Again, these are the tests that we used. As you can see, again, a statistically significant Moran's eye, but no evidence from the Lagrange multiplier tests of any kind of spatial dependence. It's 1990, 93, and these are the last 4 years that we have data for. So from the exploratory analysis, from the regression analysis, we choose to include that location's going to matter, or location does matter in the adoption of center pivot technology, especially in those early years when the technology is new. That there are some areas that are more likely, probably due to the physical factors in those locations, that make adopting this technology more desirable. However, again, over time, this dependence does seem to disappear, to go away. And although we find no statistical evidence of information spillovers, we do think that this is an interesting implication in and of itself, especially for extension service work. If the goal of an extension service or an extension agent is to push the adoption of a new technology, or to get farmers or producers to use a new, more efficient irrigation technology, the service does need to realize that, especially for these large capital investment, location-specific type of technologies, there may be very little they can do outside of introducing the technology and possibly giving the demonstrations to really push the adoption of that technology outside of those locations, especially in the early years. So it may be better to introduce the technology and let it go through the adoption process on its own. I will mention now that this is a very small study area. However, you know, when we talk about doing this sort of aggregate work of aggregating up to this county level, you have a problem with finding data. And again, this area only collected data for 7 years. You know, finding the same data for different neighboring counties for the same 7 years is difficult, which is why we had that small area. So there may be other different relationships elsewhere, again, based maybe possibly on different physical factors. We also would find it interesting as an extension of the study to ask the question if individuals react differently to the independent variables we put in the model, or basically in these physical factors based on location. Would similar physical factors in different locations, maybe due to some other physical factor, affect how people are willing, or how people are willing to adopt technology? So this concludes my presentation. If there are any questions now, I'll be willing to entertain them.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.